See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What has your waiting been like this week? Have you given thought to what God might be inviting you to or into during this time of Advent, this time of hopeful waiting and anticipation? Perhaps it's simply more of an awareness of slowing down. You've made a deliberate decision to make this season more meaningful by choosing a practice which makes you slow down just a little bit, wait a little bit more, think, contemplate about what is coming, about our Emmanuel, rather than what is the next thing to do on the Christmas list. Well, this morning's gospel speaks about what it means to wait, what it means to prepare for what is coming, and how often part of what it means to prepare is to welcome what comes before that which is longed for. And in today's gospel, we see just that. We are now in the Gospel of Mark, and in the typical Markan way, our gospel text this morning is straight to the point. Mark does not mince words. He's fast. The gospel is short, the shortest gospel there is. And for Mark, in telling about the coming of Jesus, there aren't angels and shepherds, genealogies, or Christological hymns, those things which tell the nativity story in other gospels. Instead, Mark gets straight to the point in telling the story of Jesus. And this is simply stated in his opening line of the gospel. This is what it means to Mark: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. If you are to read the story of the Gospel of Mark from beginning to end, it is good news and it is Jesus. There is no birth narrative. There is no stable. There is no star in the sky to lead the way. Mark skips over all of that, all of the genealogies, all of the theological profundities, and just introduces Jesus. Jesus, the man, is who we are greeted with in the first chapter of Mark. Because for Mark, Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the beginning of all. So again, if you read the entire Gospel of Mark, which I encourage you to do, it would take you probably 30 minutes to read it from beginning to end. Again and again, what you will read is Jesus and the good news. So today we start with John the Baptist, and as the narrative of Mark is carried out, we see in the call of the disciples, healings, feedings, teachings, eventually the death and resurrection of Jesus, and all that is between, we see again and again, it is just the beginning. Which should remind us of the hope-filled news that this great story isn't over yet. God's not done. We're not yet what we have been called to be, thanks be to God, right? God's mercy and love continues to work in ways that we might not have ever imagined. So last week I spoke of this idea of how we are to be expectant people in a state of hopeful waiting, knowing full well, as Mark suggests, it's not over. This story of God is not over. In fact, the story of Jesus continues because the good news of Jesus is in the state of perpetual new beginnings, of which you and me, all of God's creation, are part of. And so this morning, our story commences with a man from his birth was wild. So wild that when the mother of Jesus walked into the room, he leapt in his mother's womb upon hearing her voice. This is a man who sought comfort in the wilderness. He strayed away from the cities. He found himself in the wilderness, a place most people avoided at all costs. There, John the Baptist lived and resided and called people to himself. A man who from the beginning paved the way for Jesus and who happened to be Jesus' first cousin. John, the baptizer, as he is known in Scripture, the locust and wild honey eating, camel hair clothing wearing man who announces this: I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. Again and again in Scripture, we see forerunners, the one who comes before. And often they have this very precarious position and place. What we see is often the firstborn is met with tragedy, or the first one who comes is met in a way that is hard. We see this played out in Scripture, and John the Baptist is no different. In case you have forgotten, John was murdered, his head served on a platter, gruesome and horrific. He is the forerunner. He is the one who came before Jesus and gave us an idea of the fate of our Lord. Jesus and John's lives, they run parallel until the untimely death of John. And it is John who continually points the way to Jesus. He is the one that says, I will prepare a way for you. Prepare the way of the Lord. John is clear by using these words to set into motion how his role will be carried out in the gospel story. It is not a story about him. He knows his place, he knows his role, and it's one appointing to another. We are preparing the way for another. John is a placeholder of sorts until the real deal comes. It's no coincidence that the Gospel of Mark begins in the wilderness with a wild man. Just this setting alone should enable us to reflect on our own spiritual ancestors who have navigated difficult roads, preparing the way for generations to come, including us. These are our forerunners of the faith, those who have come before. Just like John with Jesus. This week, I've done some reflecting about those who have made such an impact for me. And as I remembered, I recall the first preacher who made the gospel come to life for me. His name is Bert. and he will always be a mentor and pastor, even though I've not heard him preach in over 20 years. I remember. I recall women who gave of their time as children's Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers who introduced me to Bible stories that I have carried in my heart for decades. I trusted them so much that as a 10-year-old, I raised my hand and shared that I was ready to love Jesus with all of my heart. And I also would be remiss if I didn't call to mind all the unnamed women who paved the way for me to have a vocation in ministry, to stand before you as your priest. We all have those who have come before, who have helped us to wait, who have guided and been anchors in our lives, who have given of themselves so that we might be better. So I ask you this morning, who are the John the Baptists of your life? What person has come before you? Perhaps a person a little bit further down the spiritual road than where you find yourself today, who has been the example of the forerunner of faith to you, just like John was with Jesus. Who is that person? Who are those people? You may shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know, but I will tell you, I will push back and say, it is important to know. To be able to call to mind those who by their words, prayers, encouragement, and presence have paved a way for you. Who have made ways for you when there didn't seem to be a way. And by golly, you show up on a Sunday morning because that person prayed for you. Because that person loved you enough. Recognizing our own John the Baptist is important work to do. Those people that God has gifted us with. Why? Because it allows us to enter into the grand story of faith. Because as we see this morning, faith is not something most can endeavor alone. We need those who have come before to prepare and show us the way. So as we think about Advent and we make room in our hearts for what is coming, might we clear away some of the clutter, but cling to those people and sacred spaces that hold great meaning. Call to mind how they hold a place in the story of God and in your story with God. That's powerful. So powerful. I'm convinced, just like Jesus, we need our own John the Baptist. Even if he or she eats wild honey and locusts and wears camel hair as clothing, whatever they look like, and however they practice their piety, however they worship God, go to them and thank them. Because they have a part in your story, just like John had a part in Jesus' story. They are the ones who help us remember God is not done. And thanks be to God, it is just the beginning of the good news of Jesus. Amen.
May the Lord, mighty Lord, bless and keep you forever. granting peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift your eyes and see his face, know his grace forever. May the Lord, mighty Lord, bless and keep you forever.
May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and those whom you love this day and always. Amen.